Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, and as Black History Month comes to a close this week, we're closing the show every day with contributors to the New York Times 1619 Project. 1619 as in the year enslaved Africans first arrived in what became the United States. Joining me for today is Linda Villarosa, a contributing writer to the New York Times Magazine. Her essay for the project is called How False Beliefs in Physical Racial Difference Still Live in Medicine Today. Linda, so nice to have you in here today. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And you write about how the racist beliefs that led to errors in medical science continue to influence care today. So this isn't just a history piece. One of the most persistent, according to your piece, is the myth that Black people are impervious to pain. Can you talk about where that myth came from?
Well, I open the essay with this story of an enslaved man named John Brown, who was tortured in the name of medical science. And he was put over a pit of hot coals in order to test his heat tolerance to create a cure for heat stroke. So then later, the same doctor who he had been lent to a doctor as a guinea pig wanted to prove that black skin was thicker than white skin and really tortured this man using, you know, sharp instruments, fire to prove this. He was so damaged that he couldn't work anymore. He escaped and wrote his biography in England. It was amazing. And his biography is beautiful. The way it's written, it's in his own voice and talks about this torture. And the assumption is that black people really have extremely high pain tolerance. And so this was used in order to keep people enslaved, to justify whippings and beatings and things like that. But it seems so harsh and terrible, and it is. But the interesting thing to me was that it wasn't just regular people saying that. It was doctors and scientists who believed it and were using sort of medical jargon and medical journals to prove this. And the fact that it's this same kind of myth, not to the same degree, but still persists today in medical circles is scary.
How do you see it in medical circles today?
There was a study in 2016 that interviewed white residents and medical students and residents. And so it asked them to rate black and white pain, or to say, do black people feel pain differently? Do white people feel pain differently? As well as other physiological differences, including thickness of the skin. Do black people have more nerve endings? It was kind of like odd. Does the black blood coagulate differently? And a significant number of medical students and residents believed much of that mythology, even though some of it was so false as to be fantastical. It should be things that medical students shouldn't believe.
Another persistent physiological myth that you write about is the false belief that black people have weaker lungs. That also was used to uphold slavery, right?
Exactly. And it may have been first started by Thomas Jefferson as a throwaway line in his Notes on the State of Virginia. And he just said it kind of casually, this idea of weak lungs. But it was picked up by doctors at the time, Southern doctors. And so it was kind of like used to justify slavery, but also push the idea that slavery was actually beneficial to enslaved people. And so the way that myth still persists today is there's an instrument called a spirometer. And it was used by one of the people who really pushed this idea during enslavement that enslaved people had weak lungs. And he used this to measure lung function with the idea that black lungs were 10 to 15% deficient. So even many of the modern-day spirometers still have that race correction of 10 to 15% that assumes that black lungs are weak.
Wow. And this man, Samuel Cartwright, who you write about, was a physician and professor at what is now Tulane University. So it's another example of what you were saying before. This wasn't just sort of, you know, ignorant lay people. These are people who were employed in the sciences and should have known better or should have known how to look at things.
Yes, that's what is strange. And sometimes when I'm speaking about it, people laugh because some of Cartwright's ideas were so crazy. He believed that there was this physical problem called drapetomania, which caused enslaved people to escape, and he called it a disease. But I said this person was legitimized. He was a doctor in these times and a scientist, well-regarded.
One more. You read about the physician J. Marion Sims, who has been long venerated as the father of modern gynecology. Now, listeners to this station may know that, you know, from our coverage in 2018 or coverage in a lot of places, that he had a statue on Fifth Avenue along Central Park that the de Blasio administration had removed. So what is his legacy now?
So the idea that he was the father of modern gynecology was upheld for many years until it came out that he was using enslaved women, torturing them to perfect a kind of surgery to repair fistula. So once that came out, it was really at least partly due to activism by black women wearing medical robes in front of that statue, which was across the street from the New York Academy of Medicine. Out there with blood-stained robes, gowns, saying, please, this is in honor of the main three women he tortured, Anarka, Lucy, and Betsy. There is a direct through line to today. In 2019, last November, there was a new study that came out that said black women are under-medicated for pain of cesarean section. So that's a reproductive surgery that black women remain under-medicated when in pain, even though they complain more about the pain, or the pain may be higher. They receive less medical intervention and less pain management. So that, to me, is a direct through line to Dr. Sims.
What do you think the cause today would be of not giving the same pain medication to patients in the same condition?
It seems like, from what these studies say, that it's unconscious bias, that it's not something... You know, doctors don't go into medicine to do harm. In fact, they want to do no harm. So to see them harming people makes it seem like it's unconscious. They don't know. It's people different from them, different race, different class. And so they just don't have the same kind of sensitivity. And so unconscious or implicit bias training for medical providers is really sort of the going trend.
Another one that I've heard about, I'm not sure if it's in your article, is the perception that black people tend to have higher blood pressure, and so doctors have at times seen high blood pressure in black patients and said, well, that's normal for you.
Black people do have higher blood pressure, and so that's real. But I think the cause may be up in the air. Some people have said that it's a strict biological problem when it may be in reaction to discrimination in society. The lived experience of being black in America may be causing us to have higher blood pressure than other people of other races.
But saying normal for you, to the extent that that goes on or has gone on in the past, means that black people with high blood pressure weren't getting the same treatment as white people with high blood pressure to control it.
Exactly. And so the bottom line is you really cannot say a race of people have X, Y, or Z physiological differences. Medicine is individualized. But I think some questions you have to ask are, what are the stressors that may be causing some of these physiological problems?
And we will have to leave it there with Linda Villarosa, a contributing writer to the New York Times Magazine. Her essay for the 1619 Project is called How False Beliefs in Physical Racial Difference Still Live in Medicine Today. Very illuminating for people who didn't know. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will continue through the end of the week with writers from the 1619 Project in this final week of Black History Month here on The Brian Lehrer Show.